with the reality sinking in of being human and with other responsibilities in terms of family and things of that nature, but yet at the same time wanting to perform, it's in your heart. You just can't get it out. And when you look in the mirror, which is tough for some of us to do, you look in the mirror and you want to make sure the person in the mirror is looking back at you as the reality. You constantly in life are reflecting on, wait a minute, where am I?
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
Let me tell you something, brother. If you're looking for the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be in the podcasting universe, then look no further than Ring the Bell, bringing you the best in the world at what we do. And what we do is take over the world of wrestling reviews, baby. Now, ring the bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. It's another week. You know why we're here. Last Ride, Chapter 3. Of course, I can only be joined by one man. From the Intellectual Savers of Wrestling, it's Martin.
Hello.
We're here again.
We are.
So, Chapter 3, what did you think?
I was how many matches they covered in this episode compared to the others, because by the teaser trailer, it seemed to be the Saudi tag team match, and that was the last 10 minutes of the episode only. And obviously, I completely forgot that Triple H and Undertaker had the match in Australia, the last ever time.
I forgot that Taker faced Rusev in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, admittedly. Yeah, I've forgotten that one.
The thing is, I never watched the whole show, so I've never seen that match. I've never seen that finish.
Slightly controversial going with a casket match in Saudi.
Well, Taker actually commented about it. He was concerned how the foreign fans would kind of take, I think he said the macabre kind of elements of the dead man thing. I'm guessing they were tiptoeing around the whole, Saudi Arabia beheading, thing. But... Yeah, it was, as you said, kind of, it kind of carried straight on from Cena at WrestleMania, and even more confused me why it was a squash match.
Yeah, it was very odd, and obviously it didn't explain it, well, sort of really clear it up, because I think when he was backstage, I think he might have been to Steph, and he was it was a 3-minute squash, he was like, I could have gone another 15 minutes, but, it is what it is, so I don't know if impolitely going, I don't agree with it, but, whatever, this is what Vince decided, so, I'm with it.
Well, the thing is, Vince would have seen that promo, that little video that Taker sent him, that taking the bumps and the whole, I'm not as good as I once was, blah, blah, blah. So he would have seen how much he was working and dedicating to getting himself ready. So surely if anyone's deserved and earned that right to be told, hey, this is what we've got planned for you, it's Taker.
Mm. Yeah, definitely, and obviously, looking back on it now, just the overall build-up to that match throughout, it was longer than the actual match itself.
Maybe Vince was worried about Mark Calloway's condition. Maybe he was worried that... I mean, because Taker even said during this that he wasn't interested in doing, a greatest hits kind of thing. He wants to have a proper... If it's going to be his last match, he wants to go out on a high. He didn't want to just be like a chokeslam, old school rope walk, tombstone, last ride. This is what I do. I'm giving you what you want to see. So maybe Vince just thought, you know what? Because a part of me wonders if Vince knew he was going to try and get Taker for Saudi Arabia. So do a greatest hits at Mania. No realistic risk of injury there. Cena's safe. Taker's safe. The moves are safe. Because he knows that a few months later, he's going to be calling up Mark Calloway saying, so fancy a trip to Saudi Arabia? Where he may need Taker for a bit more than a 3-minute greatest hits collection. I don't know if that's me being cynical, but I wonder if playing a slightly longer game with the with that whole thing.
Big factor in it. And obviously, I'm not saying there was anything wrong with it, but obviously Undertaker was quite on board with going to Saudi Arabia, a new country, never been there sort of thing and that, but obviously, like we said, he was a bit cautious, what sort of a reception would his character get in a country like Saudi Arabia? But they all seem to love him, to be fair. I mean, you even had people dressed up as him.
It did. The reach of Undertaker worldwide, as we've seen over the last 30 years almost, has been incredible. You know, we always see it in the 90s when they used to tour the UK and do huge business. Taker was one of the big ones, along with Brett. And, you know, anywhere they go, Undertaker just transcends. And Saudi Arabia was no exception. It kind of... It did the Saudi Arabia Rusev. It did that. And it had a... I liked a bit about MSG. And he did the six-man with Roman and Braun. I remember when that first happened, they put a clip on their Twitter of the post-match. And obviously, we kind of saw some of it here as well. And it was a nice little thing just to say, because at that time, Taker was thinking, you know, this is it for me. MSG doing this again. So that was nice to see that he got that kind of thing. And that respect he still has in that building and the respect he has for the building as well. It means a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if whether maybe it's a generational thing, but obviously, you know, back when Taker was first coming into business, like, you know, when you were wrestling in the garden, you know you've made it and you're on the big scene, so to speak, and that. So I don't know if it's still got that much appeal with, trying not to sound too old here, but, you know, the younger generation and that, you know, whether it's still sort of, you know, oh yeah, I wrestled at the garden, but, you know, sort of, whether they don't quite get it, like the likes of Taker and Triple H and that do.
We go through that, and then we sort of divert to the main meat of the episode, the Michaels, Triple H, and Kane leading to the tag match.
Yeah, I don't think you can say how incredible that match was between Taker and Shawn. And like Taker said it himself, he was like, you know, and then we went and did it the next year, and he was like, crap, how are we going to do that? And it's funny, they sort of like dubbed, like, you know, I think it was necessarily Taker or Shawn, but sort of, you know, other people that were in it sort of went like, you know, I deem that as like the, you know, what, one of the greatest matches ever.
What's your view? What's the better match? The first Taker, Shawn, or the second one? What do you think's the better one?
I think I'd probably say the first one for me was just that little bit better. It was the Strength versus Career match, and it was just a bit of an emotional wave, that match, because I knew deep down, you know, Taker was going to win and Shawn was going to ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, I think the emotion carried the second one, but from pure in-ring, from a pure wrestling standpoint, for me, the first one, and it's one of the top two. Actually, it's a tough one. It's in my top three best Mania matches of all time. That first Taker Shawn match.
Yeah.
We get to see a bit of the second one where Shawn Michaels retired. That then segues naturally, and from the sounds of how Taker was talking, that was always the plan of Triple H. That was always kind of the intention, from Taker Shawn to then segue into Taker Triple H. And we get the first match, which again was really, really good. And then we go on to what, for me, in my view, is probably my favourite Mania match ever, is the Hell in a Cell, end of an era.
Yeah, that was
it has everything. It has the best false finish with the super kick into the pedigree to the two count. No near fall in history tops that, because you thought it was over. You thought they'd broken the streak.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we get talk about that, and obviously to how all that builds into the Super Showdown with Triple H and Taker.
Yes.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, because as well, wasn't Shawn and Kane like ringside for that match, I believe.
Which, as they kind of allude to, was there to set up the tag match.
Yeah.
You know, the match was fine. It was hard hitting. It did what it needed to do. And it increased the anticipation. It set the stage for what they knew was coming on their next Saudi trip. I found, when they're folk stuff and the MSG, they weren't planned to be the end of it for Taker. So obviously we looked at Roman Reigns, he planned on being the final match. Then at no point did he seem to consider the Rusev Saudi Arabia or the MSG show his final match. They were just another appearance. So it was interesting at that point, what did he see being his last outing? If he wasn't considering those as the goodbyes, was he looking at, well, first I thought, oh, he's looking to Mania, but then from the sounds where he was talking, he was actually planning the tag match with DX in Saudi Arabia actually being the last match. That, from the sounds where he was talking to me at least, he was happy to go into that thinking, right, this is my last, I'm done after this. Did you get the same feeling that that was it for him, he thought, going into it?
I think so as well, and obviously history speaks for itself. It was a bit of a train wreck, wasn't it?
They even said that. I mean, they all went in saying, I think at one point, Triple H even said, it's a night off. We're working with Taker and Kane. You know, there's no issue here. All of them were saying it just everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. I mean,
I mean, obviously, an unfortunate thing was obviously Triple H getting injured so early on into the match, and, you know, Sean having to take a huge buck of the match, you know, pretty much on his own.
I'm sure that wasn't intended when they first sort of planned that match out.
I mean, me personally, obviously, we know Sean did it for the money more than anything, but sort of, I don't know, I always had in the back of my mind, like, you know, if he was to come back for one match, I just wish he would have bit the bum, did the AJ match rather than this tag match.
Yeah, I think that'll always be one of the regrets, is that Sean took that match. Maybe it was the money, maybe it was the fact that it was working with Triple H against Taker and Kane and the story that it had. Maybe that's the nostalgia kind of was the overriding reason for it. Who knows? But it was what it was. Just actually in the build-up set, they showed an outtake from a promo that Taker and Kane did where they were doing response to DX, and Kane was like, you got three words, or we got three words for you. And Taker's, go fuck yourself. Brilliant. It's great seeing stuff like that. It really is.
It is good when you see stuff like that. And just the natural comedy where you sort of wouldn't necessarily expect it. But that outtake was just brilliant.
So, of course, because that match was such a disaster and Taker was planning that being his last match, we know next. Obviously, Michelle McCool knew what it meant. Michael's even said chasing the dragon, because you always... as we've said in the previous episodes as well, like, if that's the plan for the last one, it doesn't go right, you need to do it again. But if it goes... It seems that Taker has that bad luck. Roman was a disaster, so he's got to go again. Cena was the plan, but he wasn't happy with that. And it's just... Where does it go? I mean, Michelle McCool even said it's a vicious cycle. You know, it was bad, so he got to redeem himself. And it's. I think it's sort of along the lines of, she said he does it until he gets closure, it doesn't matter what happens in the ring. So Cena was fine. It wasn't bad. He got to do all his high spots. He won. His kids got to see him win. You know, he kind of... But that's it. But he wanted more, so it didn't actually matter in that sense what happened in the ring. He wanted to end on that high note. And every time he's tried to do that, something stopped him. So it's like, okay, here we go again. So that kind of, that ends that. And the episode flew by. It absolutely breezed by, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And as well, remembering from the episode as well, I remember Taker mentioning as well, with like Shawn Michaels, sort of, you know, obviously, before the tag match come along, he was just like, I just respect, like, Sean how much, you know, he retired and he stuck to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just a constant debate, obviously, with Undertaker, right? Yeah, this is, you know, like we've just been saying, you know, right, this is it. Some gone wrong. Maybe not. And
I wonder Michaels thinks. I wonder how Michaels feels it is what his match back, and I'm guessing probably his only match back. He's not going to come back again. His one match back was that. I mean, I wonder, like a lot of fans who just basically pretend it didn't happen. Like, he retired at Mania, and that's it. Like, it didn't happen. It wasn't canon. It didn't happen. It was a tag match. It doesn't count. And that's it. We don't remember Shawn Michaels carrying the disaster. No fault of his own, you know?
No. He looked perfectly fine in that match, to be fair. It was just the fact of he probably wasn't anticipating pretty much wrestling for... 20 minutes on his own.
Exactly. And as you said, that kind of that happening means that he's got to go again. So that leads us into where chapter 4 is going, and that's once again back to Saudi Arabia for the very infamous Undertaker Goldberg match.
See, there was rumours that they had a bit of a bust up backstage after the match, wasn't it?
Anything else you took away generally from this episode?
No, I don't think so. It was just, you know, a fairly decent, solid episode, and I'd say that there were just matches that I was like, oh yeah, crap, they did that, didn't they? It was just the way they like teased this episode. It was going to be like quite solidly based on the tag match for Saudi, and it just covered a much wider range than I was expecting. But yeah,
it was a bonus. absolute bonus. I didn't expect to sell. I didn't expect what we got, and I was happy we got what we got.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think we're just getting a bit more settled in this series. I think that's the thing, because obviously, like, the first episode, it's just getting the whole, sort of getting over the general shock, like, you know, this is Mark Calloway and just him being himself. And then obviously the second episode, you were getting a bit more used to it, but then, like, you had, like, Vince being very emotional and everything. It was like, wow. And yeah, like with this episode, it's just like, yeah, we're just sort of, you know, going on steadily, you know, we sort of know roughly how it's going to go. You know, we're getting a lot more used to seeing Mark Calloway.
I did find it interesting, still not surprising, obviously, how protective he's been over the years, even though he's opened up more than ever with this. When he was talking about the drama going on in him and Michelle's life, he's still kept that guarded. So obviously, there's still some things that are private and don't need to be talked about. So while it did affect, and he said it affected him in Saudi Arabia, his head was there, but he obviously wasn't willing to go any more into what was happening at that time, which still goes to show Mark Calloway's opened up The Undertaker to the public, but he's not opening up Mark Calloway to the public.
No. Well, it's a classic quote, isn't it? You know, what happened to an extent, what happens in the marriages between a man and a woman, you know, it doesn't happen. Everyone's public viewing.
Yeah. I did actually also make a note when I was watching. Obviously, they have a few talking heads during this one. For me, Edge, so far, has been great throughout all this. Because, one, he can speak from experience in the sense of he didn't get, well, until now, of course, he didn't get first to pick how he wanted to, how he went out. He got taken out.
Yeah.
So he can speak from a position. Like, Triple H can still go. You know, he's just choosing not to, for example. You know, Michaels chose to retire and bar that one time has stayed retired. Edge didn't get to pick how he finished, obviously, until now, as we said. So I think it means a lot more coming from someone who can speak from that position, that he sees Taker, and Austin's kind of a to it as well in the episodes before, that when can you finally say enough is enough? And I'm looking so much forward to how we're going to see from Edge and maybe Austin and Vince, I think, as well, over the next last two episodes, of how much more we get, especially on where this show takes us. Obviously, we know it's Goldberg next. Episode 5, I can only assume episode 5 is going to be maybe... Didn't he do a little run with Drew McIntyre a little while back as well, with the Shane and Roman Reigns thing?
Yeah, I think he might have done as well. Funny enough, you bringing that up. Drew was speaking at the start of the week, and he's just basically he was saying part of my bucket list is I want to go with the Dead Man, like, properly.
Well, he did reveal that he was due to face Mini 6.
Yes, yeah. I was just about to go to that point, actually. Yeah, so that could have been interesting.
But let's be honest, that was Drew back then. You know, that's 9 years ago, nearly 12, 10 years ago, sorry. Yeah. You know, can you imagine Drew now? I mean, in the last episode, we spoke about who could take a face in his last match. You know, AJ, we could look at Bray. Drew? Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah.
Or does Drew not need that anchor of being the man that beat The Undertaker in his last match? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an option they should at least explore. Obviously, we sort of just completely forgot about Drew as an option that, but I think it could definitely be an option, and, you know, it would be good, I think. Yeah, just very quickly remembering one particular scene from this episode, actually, in that. Just weird, like just the general, you know, real life stuff and that. It was weird when they was, I think it was when they was there for the first Saudi match against Rusev and that. They had them sitting down for dinner and you had like the Saudi royalty and Vince and Brock and Undertaker just sat there having a meal and that and everything.
I remember seeing that picture. That picture was online around the time of that show and it was like Brock, Taker, Vince and yeah, the Saudi royalty. It was like, wow. You know, I mean, Brock yeah. won't leave his gated community. Brock won't walk out of his gate and his fence around his house unless he's getting paid. And that dude's having dinner with royalty in Saudi Arabia. Like,
yeah.
Brock's a
yeah.
player. Yeah. Brock's a major player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Humongous. I mean, wow. We both love Brock. Oh, I just wish they'd kept that Brock party going for longer, to be honest with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know.
Just Brock. Oh, yeah.
So we've got two episodes to go. We're over halfway. We do have a bit of a break now. June the 14th is the next episode, which is Backlash. Yes. So, yeah, we've got a bit of time. Got a couple of weeks now until that's back. But obviously, and after that, it's the next 2 weeks. So it's 14th and the 21st is the final episode, I believe. So rumours still circling that it could be that episode 5 will have some sort of comment on Taker's plans for the future and possible retirement match or something. So I think that's a realistic expectation. I think looking at what this series has given us so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it will be some sort of acknowledgement of the road is at least very near the end. I don't know if they'd go as far as sort of going like, you know, that's it, I'm done sort of thing.
No, there'll be another match. I just wonder if this is where we'll find out where that match is going to be, you know?
Yeah.
So that will answer some questions.
Obviously, yeah, we've already discussed it. I think we're both in agreement. We'd rather it be at Survivor Series, but will the lore of finishing at Mania be too much for Vince to ignore?
Exactly. But yeah, so that pretty much wraps up episode 3, end of an era. So episode 4 is coming up in a couple of weeks on June 14th, same night as Backlash. Big night there. The greatest wrestling match ever, and an episode 4 of possibly the best wrestling documentary series ever.
Yeah.
So, yes, as usual, if you have any opinions, agreements, disagreements, anything else you feel we've missed, added to, or anything else, you can contact us in the normal ways to forward that information or feedback onto us. It's on Facebook at Ring the Bell Show, on Twitter and Instagram at Ring the Bell Pod, by email at ringthebellpod@gmail.com. You can also add any comments while also leaving a nicely worded review if you wish to on Apple Podcasts, and where you'll also leave a 5-star review if you feel we've earned it. And you can also get us everywhere else like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, TuneIn, Stitcher, CastBox, Radio Public. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you will find us there. In closing, Martin, anything else to add?
No, I think we've about covered it, to be honest.
Well, there we go. So in that case, thank you for joining us for Chapter 3 of Undertaker, The Last Ride. We're back in a couple of weeks with Chapter 4. But for now, thank you for listening to Ring the Bell. I've been Andrew.
I've been Martin.
Martin.
Andrew.
Ring that bell.